You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. Brian, the Yankees' red-hot streak comes to an end here Sunday with a loss to the Rays and then a loss to the Dodgers at home on Monday night. But before that, seven in a row, and that gets them right into the thick of things as far as this wild card race goes, something that I don't think anybody could have predicted about a month ago. They still are just two games back of the wild card, which is pretty remarkable, and a pretty cool series going on with the Dodgers visiting Yankee Stadium. First of all, let's just think big picture here. Does this team, when you go in that clubhouse, is there a realization of how unlikely this whole scenario is that they're only two games out of the wild card?
I think that they knew they were going to have to go on some kind of run like that, where they were going to win seven in a row or something like that, just to get back into it. This is what they had to dig out of after they started the year 9-17. And obviously, this is a much different team than the guys that they had in that room in April. So they've been kind of playing as though there's nothing to lose. You know, Mark Teixeira recently said that. They've kind of adopted that mindset where a lot of people wrote off their season in late July when they traded away the big names. And they really are going into this as though, hey, if they can shock the world and make the playoffs and really extend their season, then that's all a bonus at this point. So I think that they're playing loose. I think that you knew this winning streak wasn't going to run forever. They weren't going to run the table and win their last 20 or so. But if they can play above 500 ball the rest of the way, I think you're looking at a team that realistically could be competing here and then thinking about keeping their calendars open for October 4th.
Earlier in the season, we saw the Giants come back to New York and play at Yankee Stadium, and there was a ton of orange and black in the crowd at Yankee Stadium. Now the Dodgers come back. There was a lot of blue in the ballpark last night. You can just see that these teams that long, long ago called New York home either make the trip from California to get to see their team play at Yankee Stadium, or you also get to see a good amount of people that still live in the area around New York City that still root for these teams or root for the team that their dad rooted for when he was little. It's just a neat experience, and Giants was cool enough, but it was earlier in the season. Now you have two teams in the middle of a pennant race. What was the atmosphere like on Monday night at the stadium?
Yeah, it was cool to see. There was obviously a lot of Dodger blue. There was a big flag that got unfurled down by the left field foul pole every time the Dodgers scored a run, and they travel well. And, you know, I think that for the Yankees, it's kind of a taste of their own medicine. The Yankees travel exceptionally well. I know that whenever the Yankees go out to the West Coast, say Seattle or Anaheim or wherever it be, there's always a large Yankee fan contingent. Well, you're playing a major market, and there's kind of a novelty to it. And as you mentioned, the Giants, the Dodgers, they don't come to Yankee Stadium very often. Obviously, they go across town to Citi Field, and I think they're well represented there too. But there's something special about seeing those teams come in as a visitor at Yankee Stadium. So I think that if I was a Dodger fan, and it's a great excuse to come to New York City and fly across the country. It's a perfect time of year to be in New York. The weather's nice. Why not? Why not make that trip? And they've got a good team, too. So I can definitely understand why they traveled well. And it'll be interesting to see how many show up for games two and three of the series. I would expect that it'll be about the same turnout.
One thing that would have made this even more special, I think, is if Vin Scully had made the trip. Obviously, a guy that started his career, still amazing to say it, but calling Brooklyn Dodger games, starting out there before they moved to Los Angeles. He went with the team way back when. Would have been cool to have Vin back in New York to kind of do this series. Obviously, he's at the point in his career and his life that he wasn't ready to make that trip across the country. But it's his last year, obviously, with the Dodgers. Has there been talk about that around the stadium of kind of, oh, it could have been even more special with Vin here?
Well, I think everybody recognizes what Vin Scully means to not just the Dodgers, but baseball. And don't forget, he not only started his career at Ebbets Field, but he went to Fordham University right there in the Bronx. So there's a rich tradition, and it begins with Vin Scully. And I know that Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees on TV, he really respects Vin Scully. He had a chance to sit down with him when the Yankees went to Dodger Stadium a few years ago. I think that if you're in this field, in this profession in any way, covering baseball, whether it be print reporter, television voice or even, you know, writing for the internet like me, I think you look up to and you respect Vin Scully. He is a master. He is the best. And now the game's going to miss him for sure, but I think that whenever you get that opportunity to tune into a Dodger game and Vin's on the broadcast, you definitely leave the channel right there. And it doesn't matter the score. It doesn't matter the team's playing. When Vin Scully's on the microphone, you want to hear that game.
D.D. Gregorius got the game off, got the night off on Monday night just to rest up. 3-for-34, Brian, in September. Obviously, he's had a tremendous season for this Yankees team, has kind of really inserted himself there as the shortstop for this team. Is it just a matter of this guy just needs a break? He's played a ton of games this season.
Yeah, he has, and I think it's more that he's had a run of bad luck here of late. He's gotten beat up in late August and early September. You know, I was talking to Didi at his locker last night, and the one that really has bothered him the most is if you go back to a September 8 game against the Rays, there's a pickoff throw where Alex Cobb throws to first base, and Didi dives back into the bag, and the ball just clips him right in the right rib cage. And, you know, you kind of expect that. You have time to react, I guess, when you're a hitter. Not that it would make it feel any better, but at least you know it's coming. You don't expect to be drilled with a 90-mile-an-hour fastball when you're diving back into first base. So that has really bothered him, the ribcage, oblique area. And that has probably affected his swing a little bit. That's probably why you're looking at the 3-for-34. He says he doesn't want to use it as an excuse, but you have to think that's affecting him. There were a couple hit-by-pitches in the series against the Orioles, one at home, one on the road. That was in the wrist area. So you're looking at a guy who needs some ice. He needs some time off here. And Joe Girardi wasn't sure if he was going to even have him for a second straight day today. We'll see when the lineup comes out. But Didi said if his name's in the lineup, he'll be ready to play. He said on a scale of 1 to 10, he's probably a 5 or a 6 as far as pain goes. He's been managing it. But that's got to be a concern when you hear your starting shortstop say he's trying to grind through and he's at a 5 or a 6. That's significant, I think. I think that everybody's got aches and pains at this point in the schedule, but that's a little more than I think you want to push at this point.
Gary Sanchez used up his rookie eligibility with his first at-bat on Monday night. He went over the limit, so he won't be a rookie when he comes back in 2017. There's no standout candidate as far as rookie of the year in the American League right now, at least. There's been guys along the way that have kind of stepped up and faded. Nobody like Corey Seager, who's playing at Yankee Stadium this week for the Dodgers, who's just kind of the clear-cut guy to win the award. And because of that, it seems like Gary Sanchez may be getting more attention despite the small sample size. Maybe he's going to get more votes than we would have initially thought a guy that came up when he came up could get.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, it's going to happen pretty soon here where the voters start filling out their ballots. And you get three spots there to think about. And maybe you don't put Sanchez number one. Maybe you just say, look, he's only been up since the beginning of August. Other guys have been there. You mentioned Fulmer. There's guys like Tyler Naquin with Cleveland, Nomar Mazara with Texas, and they're going to get consideration too. But I think that you're really looking at a guy who might get some second and third place votes, and maybe even a couple first place. If he can have the next kind of few weeks that he did in the beginning, you might be looking at a guy who's finishing the year hitting around 350 with 20 home runs. I think that if he gets to that point, it's pretty realistic that you can think about it. It's crazy to say, but it has happened before. There was a year where Willie McCovey came up, and he only got about the same number of games played. I believe he was under 60 games played with the Giants, and he wound up winning NL Rookie of the Year. And I know it's a vastly different time. We've got advanced metrics and all that now, but I think if you look back, McCovey had a convincing case, and Sanchez could too. If you're a believer in Fangraphs WAR, and I was looking at this last night, he's been worth 2.5 wins above replacement, according to Fangraphs, going into last night's game, Sanchez has. Fulmer's only been at 2.6. So he's the highest of any non-pitcher in the American League. So I think that, yeah, he deserves to be in the discussion. He's done so much with the bat. His defense has been above average. His throwing, he made an error against the Dodgers, but by and large, the throwing has been very impressive. Gary Sanchez has been very impressive, and I think that when we're talking about Rookie of the Year, believe it or not, yeah, this guy who's only been in the Major Leagues for 7 or 8 weeks, he's going to be in the conversation for sure. I'm not sure if he's going to win it, but he deserves to be in that conversation. He has earned it.
This has been MLB.com Extras, our Yankees edition. For Brian Hoke, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.